Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this latest edition of the Real Deal Podcast. I'm your host, Surreal Gerald Quinn, on this 29th of May 2019, as we discuss the world of sports and pop culture. I am joined by one Robert Sapp. How you doing, Mr. Sapp?
Doing pretty good. Doing pretty good. How you doing?
Anytime you have to deep dive a podcast involving a team that you've been rooting for the better part of 30 plus years, and it was a lot of medicine I had to take today. How did we get to this point? And we'll discuss this. And I it's one of those things where you have the answer, but once you deep dive, the truth just keeps smacking you in the face over and over. There's nothing you can do about it. It's like, this is what.
Nothing.
There's nothing you can do. Take the medicine. We, of course, are streaming live here on YouTube channel, Blog Talk Radio as well. Podcast should be available anywhere from 15 to 20 minutes after the broadcast is over on YouTube. As far as Blog Talk Radio, that should be available basically almost immediately. They normally put their stuff out there quicker, so stay tuned, certainly stay tuned for that. We hope to be joined by one Chad Quinn, who's supposed to be on as well, so he might come chime in and get his 2 cents on the state of the Los Angeles Lakers. So I was going through some things today, a lot of, like, as far as family-owned sports businesses who have had sustained success, right? And the two were obvious. You had the Steelers with the Rooneys.
Yeah.
And to somewhat of a lesser extent, you had the Maras with the Giants.
Okay.
So now, of course, the Maras alone now, Steve, Wellington Mara was the owner in 2004. It's split between Tisch and Mara right now. The Rooneys, of course, you have Art Rooney II, who currently owns the Steelers. And speaking of the devil, you have one, Chad Quinn. Chad Quinn.
Oh, he decided to make it.
Nice of your doing. Yes. This is a reunion.
We're here, man.
We all here. The boys are back. So
I'm just very, very happy that Chad was able to fit us into his busy schedule. Overjoyed.
Starting already.
Only three minutes late. So I was talking to Rob about family sports owned franchises who were successful. And I was going through those today and thinking about how they compare to where the current state of the Los Angeles Lakers. And I came up, of course, the two that came to mind were the Steelers and the Giants. And now with the Steelers, you had Art Rooney, Dan Rooney, and Art Rooney II as the three primary owners. Art Rooney II is current owner. They've had three coaches in 50 years. General manager has been, stable. And, I'm looking at that. You say to yourself, it's very simple to see why the Steelers have been near the top of the NFL food chain for the better part since 1969, off and out, with the six Super Bowls. And the question that Rob posed to me was, where did this go wrong with the Buss family?
Yeah.
Like, how did
yeah.
it play?
I, I got a quick question too before you get to that question.
Go ahead.
My question was your research that you did, and that's some good research. How many of those families come from a sports lineage? I'm curious. Like the buses, right? I'm just curious.
Right.
How many of them actually played first? I would love to know that, as opposed to the Dolan, the Tommy Boys of the world, where they just inherit teams and have no idea about sports at all. That's all. I don't know if you found any numbers on that or any information.
I was going to say,
that would have been really impressive, Chad. You just asked him the question.
You know, how much you got a little assistant back there, like on ESPN? You got somebody right now.
You got the crack research staff in there.
What do they call the guy on IT&T? What's the dude's name? You know, in the background.
Underdog.
Then there used to be like a stat boy or something like that.
Stat boy, yeah, that was
Stat boy. Stat boy off PTI, yeah, Stat boy.
Yep.
So
you need to get one of those, bro.
That's
some serious D5. I didn't even think about the fact that sporting background from that standpoint. Even Jerry Buss didn't have a sporting background prior to his ownership. He was horse racing, and his father owned apartments, things like that. It was a business. His background was business oriented. It wasn't sports. It wasn't a sports background. So with the buses, getting to the buses, right? I'm gonna give you a little Laker history here. Okay.
Here we go.
So.
Yep.
Yep. Give you a shortened version of Laker history. So Bill Sharman, who is one of the few people on this earth that has won a championship as a player, coach, and general manager, was really the first prominent front office man the Lakers had, and put together the teams that won championships in the early 80s, the 80 team and the 82 team. You know who was Bill Sharman's scout that who was learning under him? Doing the grunt work
Bill
while
Jackson.
He was getting Bill's coffee. No, Phil Jackson, come on. Phil Jackson wasn't. We didn't know who Phil Jackson was in 1980. Jerry West, the logo.
I should have guessed that.
At the time.
Of course it was
who
Jerry
at the
West.
Time, yeah, of course it was Jerry. But who at the time probably retired as the Lakers, when Jerry West retired as a Laker player in 72, as probably the greatest Laker at that point, of all time, at that particular time. This is early 70s. He's scouting. He didn't just walk into the vice president. No, he was a scout. Bill Sharman retires. Jerry West takes over. You have Mitch Kupchak under Jerry West for the better part of 20-plus years. I think it's 86. So Mitch Kupchak started along with Jerry West as his assistant, basically learning under him in 1986. He takes over for Jerry West in 2000. Now, a number of titles, success. Now you get to the point where Mitch Kupchak is running the show as far as personnel decisions, outside of major contracts. Jerry Buss didn't want to pay Shaq in 2004. That was a Jerry Buss decision. That was not Mitch Kupchak. You know who was learning, or supposedly was learning, under Mitch Kupchak?
Who was this?
Take Jim Buss. Jim Buss. Yeah. No. So Jim Buss had no, wasn't scouting. He was no director of personnel. None of that. I'm Jerry Buss's son, and Jerry Buss probably told Mitch, you know what? Let him run along. Teach him the ropes, Mitch. I believe in you. I'm good. I'm about to go to this Playboy mansion and get these 35-year-olds. I'm good. Whatever. We know what Mitch Kupchak, not Mitch Kupchak, you know what Jim Buss, how Jim Buss feels about scouting and how hard it is? I'll read you a direct quote from the Jim Buss. And this is a quote from 1998. Put it up here. Evaluating basketball talent is not too difficult. If you grab 10 fans out of a bar and ask them to rate prospects, their opinions would pretty much be identical to those of the pro scouts.
Huh.
So that was the gym bus mentality.
Okay.
And that is where nepotism went.
There
wrong.
You go.
That's the word.
When nepotism
that's
wrong.
What we're looking for.
Because this was part of the Jerry Buss succession plan. Jeannie, you handled the business. Okay.
Yeah.
The Laker business has not stopped growing. The Lakers are worth $3.7 billion, got one of the largest television contracts in basketball, number two behind the Knicks, and they're the second most valuable franchise.
All those Knicks, they just show up.
All those Knicks,
yeah,
they always show up. So the business aspect of the Lakers is as good as it's ever been, as far as from a business standpoint. Still, they can print their own money. We understand they can afford to pay over the luxury tax. So Jeannie Buss has the business aspect down pat. But
are we still
Jerry
talking
Buss
about 1998?
Oh God,
sorry.
Wait, turn to what?
No, keep going.
No, that quote came from 98, a Sports Illustrated article in 98 from Jim Buss. That was a quote. That's not.
Just please ignore Rob, man. Brady, just ignore him.
So Jerry Buss succession plan included eventually. Once he was getting older and his health started failing, for Jim Buss to take over basketball operations and be making decisions, making all important basketball decisions.
Uh huh.
So that to me is where, again, it's nepotism gone wrong. It's not. Being able to, it's one of those things. It's like not putting your son through the grunt work of you're going to be a scout. You're going to start off year one. You'll be a scout. Eventually, you'll have your own scouting department. Then you'll go, you know, director of, or maybe our scouting team in Europe. None of that. No. He didn't go the Jerry West route where you had to start off basically from the bottom. He basically said, you know what.
Uh-huh.
Follow Mitch around, follow Jerry West around, take a couple of notes, and, you know, Jerry West is getting older, Jerry West moved on, you know, Mitch eventually is going to be your show. So, and that's where, so, we can blame Jeannie Buss, and Jeannie Buss deserves a lot of blame as the primary owner right now. She's calling the shots. But again, Jeannie Buss did not come up with the succession plan. This was Jerry Buss's succession.
So I have an immediate reaction to that. Chad, do you have something you want to... So I have an immediate reaction.
Well, you know, go ahead.
Okay. So my immediate reaction to that is I remember, so I'm pausing right before the comment you said about Jeannie running it now, right? So I remember that time period well, and I remember all of that conversation, right? And so the conversation was like, Jim Buss, he's the worst. All the Lakers ex-players, particularly Magic, were just like, Jeannie needs to run this show. So all that happens, right?
Yeah.
And so now I think this is the part that I've just been interested in why I'm not hearing this more, because Jeannie, like before there was a Magic Johnson that was brought into this picture or anything like that, Jeannie Buss was supposed to be the savior. That's why I just remember hearing that over and over again. When Jeannie runs the show, things would be different. Would be different. And so now that we're here, and I think that was more when I was what I was thinking when I texted you that question. It's just like, all right, so it looked like the easy target was going to be LeBron. That's who I thought for a while. Everybody's gonna be able to get their frustration on, right? But then Magic comes in and takes the bullet in his own way. He takes the bullet, and then finally, after all of this time, I'm just now starting to hear Jeannie Buss may not be great at this part of the job. And now I also have pushback on value, property, about how values go up and blah, blah. Anyway, but just might not be that great at the job. And even at the end of this conversation, you as a diehard Lakers fan skipped right over Jeannie and actually went back to Jerry Buss and be like, his succession plan is the cause of where we are right now. Nepotism is the perfect word to put there, but for a long time, it seems like that nepotism has been pointed at Jim Buss. And I think, like, to actually start thinking about, wait, how the Lakers here right now, a lot of that has to be, like, looked at on Jeannie Buss's side. I'm just thinking about Chad's comment about who he thought wrote that article, and that's making me laugh right now.
Oh yeah,
I don't think you're taking it this way. I am not absolving Jeannie Buss by any stretch of the imagination. I was laying out the plan of succession.
Okay.
I was just laying out the plan of succession. Buss, the plan was not like, it was just a horrible plan from the standpoint of putting Jeannie Buss in a position to make, that Jeannie Buss be in this position to make basketball decisions. I don't think the plan ever laid out that, I don't think that part was ever thought about in terms of the plan. Like,
gotcha.
Well, what happens if Jim Buss falls in his face? Then who... Well, no, this was the plan. If Jim Buss falls in his face, Jeannie, you take over and take it from there. Hire Magic. That leads me to my next point about where Jeannie obviously has failed miserably and has learned this from her father. But things have changed, and that's going out there and running this like a mom and pop's organization as far as we got to hire – no matter who we hire, they have to be a Laker. They have to have some Laker connection. They have to have some, I don't care who, the supervisor, I don't care if it's a maintenance person. They have to be have some type of Lakers connection instead of giving the best basketball people, the best people, persons for the particular position. And Magic Johnson, like, I haven't really been, I'm not angry at Magic Johnson. Let me be honest with you. Magic Johnson did not hire himself. Magic Johnson came and said, now I wish he would have finished out his third year. I figure if you can do two, finish three, cool. You got a right to, you have a right to happiness. You want to go do these dumb tweets. And you know what? Steph can shoot. Whatever. You can go do that. Run your businesses. That's fine. Live your life. But if I tell you, Robert, right, if I'm hiring for a business and you tell me, like, now you know, Surreal, I have a lot of businesses on the side. I may not be able to fully commit to what you may need me to do. Keep that in mind. And if I hire you anyway, then that's on me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you knew Magic Johnson had businesses like all over the country, all over the world. Magic Johnson's almost a billionaire. But you know what?
I just don't remember any of these conversations being had at the time.
Let me jump in just for a moment. So I hear the word nepotism. I think it's a great word, but we got to expound upon that a little deeper, you know. And the word I would use is relationships and privilege. You know, this is what makes this whole nepotism thing messy. Because of the privilege, no one, like all the articles you read, the research you did, no one talks about resumes and experience. Like that's not important. As far as the Lakers organization with the hiring. That's not even a thought. It's all based on relationships, right? So when you talk about when Rob brought up Jeannie, you know, let's not also forget she was going to be the savior when she might even bring in her boyfriend Phil Jackson at the time and convince him to come back to the Lakers. That was another big thing that was talked about, right? And then you think about the relationship with Kurt Rambis, and all of this stuff is all relationship-based. It has nothing
Linda
to do
Rambis,
with anybody.
Kurt Rambis, Linda Rambis, his wife.
All of it. Yeah. All of it. And I would sit here to Rob's point. I had to move this around. I didn't do this long because I'm still – we still got to have a separate conversation about Game of Thrones. We do. We just have to. I don't care if it's on the air. I don't care where it is. We got to talk. So initially I was looking at – Jeannie as possibly Cersei, because they're the Lannisters to me. They're Lannisters. And I said, okay, was she Cersei? Because for me, Jim was always Joffrey. He's not even one of the siblings. He's the kid that just got killed. He's Joffrey. But then I was thinking about Jeannie recently, and I'm thinking about all the stuff that's coming up, and I'm like, well, damn, maybe she's Tyrion. But I'm talking about last season Tyrion. I'm not talking about the Tyrion.
Not old school Tyrion, yeah.
Old school Tyrion. This dumb one that can't see anything coming is playing checkers and they're going to play chess the whole time. That's who I'm equating her to. She is the 2019 version of Tyrion Lannister at this point. Because all of these moves that she's made, because it ultimately falls under her. You know, it all falls under her ultimately. Like her dad is dead, he passed on his kids. Maybe he didn't groom them enough. Fair. But any good business person, even Magic, when, you know, everybody was doing Magic's lack of education, Magic was like, I'm going to put smart people around me. And that's how Magic grew up his own business. You know what I mean? So I think she was more concerned of the, hey, these are my friends, as opposed to this is the intellect that I need around me. And I feel like that's what really... and also when you that reckless, and as you talk about the Lakers' worth and all of this, that power just makes you just do whatever. Like, hey, if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. I have a whole other segment on Magic that I have a problem with. It's only brief. It's just like Magic turned into Superhead. You know, he's gone on his tour, his tell-all book, and I'm not mad as long as Magic understands, dude, if you're going to talk, you know they're going to talk about you too. You
they
know, so be
right
careful
back.
What
we
you really
back.
Want to open up.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because you're playing this whole victim. Hey, man, I'm just Magic. I just came here to smile. I ain't want all this backstabbing. You know what I mean? This is not even me, man. I just want to hug them. If you want to do that message, you want to. You know what I mean? So I think Magic just needs to be careful. Just kind of gracefully bow out because this whole Lakers thing is bigger than him. He's actually in a safe space. And I think it was kind of telling with Magic, you know, we're in day and age of social media. So we saw this hour train wreck of a press conference, and I'm sitting here looking at my phone waiting for all the Lakers players to say something. Like, dang, we miss you. Oh, they hurt. Crickets. Then LeBron I mentioned it briefly. But that's very telling of the relationship that Magic had with the players, too. So as much as I hated that article, there was some truth in that article, definitely. You know what I mean? But anyway, they're the Lannisters to me. I definitely think that nepotism, because, you know, nepotism is a word that black people made bad. White people have been doing nepotism for years. I'm all for that.
That's what they do.
You know what I'm saying?
That's just being.
I'm all for it. They convinced us to make it look bad. But the thing is how you use it. It's how you use it. But anyway, I'm done.
No, the privilege aspect, you know, I'm going to basically take care of my folks, take care of my people. So Linda Rambis has basically been called like the shadow owner of the Lakers. She gets in, she's in Jeannie's ear. She has this, you know, whatever title that, just a title. There's nothing of significance as far as the title that she has as a Laker. You have Kurt Rambis, who was an awful coach, right? Awful coach, has no general manager, none of that acumen or scouting, none of that. No, he has none of that. He's just known for being Kurt Rambis, off a role player off of championship teams back then. Superman, right? So basically, Kurt Rambis and Linda Rambis are, you know, in Jeannie's ear, has Jeannie's attention, and this is how the franchise is being run right now, with relationships that are just that have made have turned them into to me right now the worst franchise in the NBA, considering the resources they have. And consider the fact that they can afford golden luxury tax and most teams try to avoid it. And consider the fact that they still have LeBron James on the team.
Yeah.
He's on the team.
This is, really quickly, this is how, as I was thinking, as listening to you talk, this is how disastrous this is, right? You literally have Laker Nation, at the very least, confused about Magic. And some actively annoyed with Magic. And then on the flip side, you have, as split as Laker Nation was about it, you have now unanimously people going, well, at least we have LeBron James. That's amazing. That's how disastrous this is.
Yeah. It's so layered. Because even Pelinka, who seems to be pretty hard of a person.
Nobody likes him.
You know, nobody likes him.
Nobody.
But Kobe Bryant. It's like everybody still has one person that vouches for them in LA. Like, they have not made any unanimous opinion about anything. Like, yo, we all agree on this. That's what's so funny about watching this. It's like there's problems here and there. And I keep going back to this, but it's like, how did you pick this team?
Yeah.
Frank is one thing
to
say we're going to bring Magic in and groom him. You got two knuckleheads? Like, you picked Dumb and Dumber and said, all right, well, we're going to rock with this. And Magic came in there still think he's playing basketball. You know what I'm saying? He's talking about, he looked in the world. I'm going to give y'all a real quick story about Magic, right? 2 years ago at the high school, I watched the worst. I got a video of the worst fight I've ever seen. I hate to see kids fight first and foremost, especially black kids.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not
mm-hmm.
why it's even the worst. These two boys could not fight at all. Like, you could tell they had no fathers or anybody around them. And they're fighting. And this is a true story. In the middle of the fight, the one kid gets hit in the back of his ear because it got through an awkward punch, I guess. And he looks at him and says, ow. Like, dude, why'd you do that almost with his facial expression? And I'm like, do you know you're in a fight? Like, who says, ow? I've never seen in all my years of fighting and seeing fights, I've never seen someone say, ow. You know what I mean? And I feel like that's what Magic did when he was trying to make this trade with Anthony Davis. He was like, we thought we were working with someone acting. And Magic, what are you talking about?
What are you
talking
about?
Dude. Like, what are you think they're going to be honest? You think they're really going to be honest and say, all right, Magic, we'll shake on that. We're going to do everything you said today. I'm like, Magic, please wake up. Please stop being this dumb. You don't have to be this dumb. You know what I mean? And that's what's really frustrating me about him, because he keeps talking about, man, this ain't for me. Why did you do this then, sir? They might mess around taking his statue if he keep playing around. You know? But anyway, like I said, he really needs to stop. He really needs to stop. You know, Pelinka's playing a little smarter by just being his crazy self and quiet, but I'm not going to lie to you. As a Knicks fan, it feels refreshing. I feel supported. I feel understood. I feel heard. You know what I mean? And it's like when we were kids and watching Married with Children or Roseanne at the time, and I screw Roseanne at this point, but it's like, we're not the only dysfunctional family. It's just really good to see someone else like, yeah, I get it. There's nothing I can read about the Lakers and what have you. Like, I'm just like, yeah, man. Like, come on. You talking to the dude that had Isaiah and Stephon Marbury going to the strip club together. Like, yeah, that's what's up. This is all little stuff to me. Everybody's like, oh, my gosh, can you believe that Magic yelled at someone? Who wrote this? An article. This is white people's tears. We had a player in the court going against each other. Stop playing. Anyway, I knew I had to bring up the Knicks at one point. I won't bring it up again, but I just want you to know, hey, we could talk offline, real. Just, you got to breathe, man. You got to take it easy, you know. Like, don't rush through these feelings. You kind of rush into the answer, and it's, like, really going to drive you crazy. You're like, oh, I know what the problem is. No, 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 no. There's going to be so many levels to this journey. Like, we only just begun, brother. There's plenty more articles coming out this summer. And trust me, you in for the long ride. This ain't going to be no quick fix. Best believe that. This ain't going to be no quick fix.
I was thinking about this too, because now I root for two dysfunctional organizations with the Los Angeles Lakers and also, of course, the Washington football team. So I know what dysfunction looks like up close and personal. And I'm like, the thing about it is, you know, if we don't do our job, we're unemployed for the most part. There's consequences. There is, you know, stuff that we have to do in order to pay our rent. If you are like one of the worst owners in the world, there's no consequence. You just continue to get rich. There's not like, yo, you know what, Lakers, Genie Buzz, we're gonna fine you $80 million for all this dysfunction. Nah, Daniel Snyder, you're gonna fine you $100 million for making the playoffs. You know, for not making an NFC championship since you've been there. Like, there's no consequence to being a bad owner. These owners, and the thing about it is, with the NBA in particular, now it was a time where, and this was, and I'm gonna go back to Jim Buss, when he took over, this is like 2013-14ish, he took over at the worst time because at that time, that was a time where it became cool. It was cool to be an owner. So the owners wanted to be like, you know what? I'm not just gonna cut the checks. I want to be in the draft room. I want to be a part. I want to be a part of scouts without doing the grunt work. I want to. Daniel Snyder has his own draft room. Okay. I want to fire. I'm firing coaches. I'm firing general managers. I'm doing whatever because you know what? I'm going to get rich regardless. So if Buss came along in the 80s, the early 90s. That was a time where owners were like, you know what, I'm running the business aspect, I cut the check, I'll find vice presidents and general managers to do all that dirty work and all that stuff and make those decisions. He came along at the worst possible time where, again, it became cool to be an owner, especially in the NBA. That's why you started seeing all these, like, Lionel Hollins getting fired after going to, the Western Conference Finals, like, dumb shit like that. Like, these owners, like, they don't care. It's like these are like toys. These are like the NBA. The NBA teams are like toys to like a lot of these owners. So Buss came.
Oh, they are.
He came along. Yeah, no question. He came along at the wrong time for him to be. You know, for him to be a port. The time of Jerry Buss passing away. The time of that and Jim Buss taking over was. That was the time to be an owner where you could just where you're gonna basically do whatever you want. There's more money than ever was in the league now, and that money the product has grown as far as the amount of revenue, things of that nature. Again, there's no penalty or consequence to being a horrible owner.
So with that said, right? Go ahead, Rob. You want to say something?
No, I was gonna say something smart. Go ahead.
No, but what you're saying, real, right? There's no consequence, right? You've identified what you believe is the problem. You said it starts up top with nepotism. We agree, right? In part. But where do you go from here is the question, right? Like, if they're just going to continue to be reckless, make money, where do you go? Because, and before you answer that, I want to say, like, you know, just on the eye test and what the NBA's look like, we can all agree that Adam Silver's done a pretty good job so far, right? No, yes or no? Yeah, you're nay.
I'm fine with Silver.
You said, yeah, fine with him. But one thing I have liked about him is his ability to hear problems, listen, and correct it. Or at least try to, you know, all-star games. you know, tanking, whatever the case may be. He's like, oh, okay, yeah. And he gets right on it, for better or worse. Like, you'll see in the headlines, like, oh, next year the NBA's thinking about it. Oh, dang, he's really not, like, just talking rhetoric. I say all that to say I was a little concerned when he was like, yeah, the Lakers will figure it out. And I'm like, I don't know, sir. I don't know. Maybe you're going to have to step in on this one. You know what I'm saying? Maybe the NBA needs to take the Lakers. I don't know. Just jump into this situation because I don't, as you're talking about this recklessness and we talk about power and everything, how does this get better is my question. Because the people that have to make it better are the ones that are the problem.
The only way, there's only one way out of this to me, is if they, if Jeannie Buss decides and the other siblings decide to sell the team. That's the only way I can, that's it. I have no.
Yeah, you're gonna be in pain for quite a while.
Oh yeah, so here's the thing. Team's worth $3.7 billion, right? Even before all this jumped off, there were whispers that they did not, that Jeannie Buss didn't want to, wasn't going to be owner for an extended period of time. As far as they were looking to possibly.
Time out to Chad. I just want to ask Chad a question. Chad, how many times has it been rumored that Dolan might not be the owner? This is a journey,
at
bro.
At least 10 years of my life. Listen, man.
We're just trying to save you some time.
The one thing I'll tell you about this journey, it has an unlimited number of pages. Unlimited. I have no idea where this ends. It just goes back to the Game of Thrones. They just writing this stuff still. I thought it was done. More coming, and it gets worse every season. It really does somehow. It really gets worse every season. And it will test your humanity because you have no idea where you can go mentally. The level of patience that you feel like, because you're like, oh, no, I'm done. This happens. We do this. But you come back. Because every once in a while, they throw you. It's going to be harder for you. It's going to be harder for you because this is my life, right? This is kind of how I came into this situation with it. You came into the glory days and been with them ever since, right? You saw everything. But just as important, you got LeBron James. Like, this is going to make this harder because it's going to be
tough.
Harder. It's like being an alcoholic and you still got the Hennessy in the house. You got to finish it. You got to finish it before you quit. So, like, us, we already didn't have anything. Our biggest rumor was LeBron might come to us. That was what we hoped for every year. You have him. So there's a percentage of the Lakers nation that's saying, yeah, this is bad to Rob's point, but we have LeBron. So it's going to work out. And it's like, nah, the quicker y'all all say no, this is going to end. What was my man say? My man, Ice-T, quoted saying he loves horror movies. He says a horror film was supposed to end horribly. You know, it's a horror film. So, like, there's no other way this is supposed to end, man. This is going to be bad. And it's going to be laughable bad. Like, where jokes on you, where it's going to be really uncomfortable. We're like, all right, y'all, hi. Okay. This is going to be those type of calls. I told someone the other day, I couldn't even talk to y'all on the thread draft night, and everybody saying, oh, it's conspiracy. The NBA won. The Knicks? What? The NBA? What? Are you serious? I can't even speak on the thread. And it got quiet. It got quiet real quick. Of course, the Knicks get the number 3 pick, and New Orleans out of nowhere gets number 1. Did someone really say that an NBA? Please show me the proof. Please show me that. So you're going to have to deal with all of this nonsense. You're going to have to deal with people who really don't care about your feelings because you're the Lakers. So, you know, it's going to be some crazy stuff happen, man. Kobe might coach next year. It's going to be wild. It's going to be a wild time, man. It's going to be some wild chapters to show up.
Chris Paul, the Lakers. Chris Paul, one of the worst contracts in the league. On the Lakers, LeBron.
See, now, no, you laughing. But that's what's going to happen because if Steve Francis.
Oh, no, that's not laughing.
We won it before.
That is on the table. Trust me. Chris Paul, that would not.
Right now, I'm envisioning. Hold up. Y'all, listen, quote me here. This is a recorded conversation. Dwayne Wade, I'm retired. And I see the Banana Boat crew. I see Melo, Wade, Chris Paul, LeBron. I see it. I don't know what time of the season it's going to be, but I see all four of them in the Lakers jerseys next year. But anyway.
I like it. Let's go.
Yeah, why not?
Oh,
with JaVale McGee still there.
Yes, do it.
Why not?
Yep.
Okay. Welcome to basketball hell. But
how do you feel about that?
I want to touch you in the
Go ahead. I was curious about how you felt about Magic.
I wish Magic just stopped talking. I just wish Magic just go back to running businesses, go back to, you know, Starbucks, the movie theaters. Just do Magic. Just we like you, Magic. Because I remember.
Don't make us not like you.
But you know what? If you keep talking, you go to the point where I might not like you as much. Like, I'm never going to get to the point where I will never hate Magic.
Yeah, nah.
But if you keep talking, I'm going to be like, Magic, you're becoming that dude, right?
Yeah.
You don't have to sell us on Laker dysfunction. Like, we understand this is bigger than you. It's clear.
Let me just add to that real quick. If you must do any more press, Magic, we don't want you to do any. We understand that. But if you must do any, can we not see you and Stephen A. anymore together? I think we all have
please.
Something enough of the Magic and Stephen A. show.
Oh,
I can't do that love fest.
At all.
Like,
oh, my.
Just for your own, you might lose some stock at Starbucks. You keep messing with Stephen A. Like, leave him alone. Go the other way. You know. But anyway, okay.
Oh boy, I knew what I was going to get from Wilbon. I knew Wilbon. That's his dude. Wilbon will tell you Magic is my guy. At least Wilbon will be like, you know what, Magic my guy. So my opinion is going to be swayed to this, you know, this direction. Cool, whatever. I don't expect you to say anything else. But the Stephen A. outburst. Oh man, that was just like that's some stuff that just shouldn't even be on TV. It shouldn't even be recorded. Like, he just wasted however long 5 minutes of somebody's life that they won't be able to get back with that bullshit. Finals tomorrow night. Only the Lakers could like just completely not like wipe out the finals, but just overshadow what I think is going to be a very good series with Golden State and Toronto. First time in five finals that Golden State will start on the road. Games 1 and 2. First of all, what have we thought about the playoffs up to this point? What are all around thoughts, overall thoughts on the playoffs leading up to the finals?
You got
it,
Chat.
Yeah. Okay. I think, first of all, that we realized that the narrative that it would be boring without LeBron was really overrated. I'm hugely entertained with the playoffs. Each round, like the first round wasn't the greatest, but it still had a couple of good series in the first round. But I think, I guess I came into the playoffs knowing that Golden State was going to do what they did and make it, but what's helped is how they're doing it. You know, like, it was always going to be Golden State winning. But no one saw the Kevin Durant injury happening.
Nope.
And that actually made it exciting because, well, maybe they can lose, but more importantly, we saw the old Golden State that we actually liked at one time.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So that's been fun. I've never seen, and I was thinking about a lot of series, I've never seen two more humble superstars going head-to-head in Kawhi Leonard and the Greek Freak. You know what I mean? Normally it's some type of ego or someone's a jerk, at least in the series. And I'm like, dang, you really want both of these dudes to win. And it shows you the power of sports. With all the shenanigans and the nonsense with Kawhi last year, I've never been a Kawhi hater, but I just was like, I don't know about this dude. And, like, he really is Tim Duncan 2.0. It reminds me watching Kawhi and Kevin Durant. It's like watching Kawhi and Kevin Durant reminds me of watching Tim Duncan and Kevin Garnett. I was always Kevin Garnett was just wow, in your face, emotional, everything. All the skills and everything. Now, both of them are winners, just in this analogy. You know, Kevin Durant's a winner, too. But it's just Kawhi, he got 30. You're like, when? You know what I mean? Like, when did he get this jump shot? Just like, I didn't know that he was this efficient. And we talked about this briefly before. Hey, listen. Not only, you know, the catchphrase was betting on yourself, but hey, you know when you're healthy, right? We've seen it happen with Gordon Hayward, right, who the NBA just gave a whole white boy pass of his terrible year. Paul George didn't get that pass, but you saw the players that came from these injuries, have to build themselves back. Kawhi came into the season balling, and when he was like, yo, I'm not playing today, they was like, oh, okay. Cool. And no one really liked it. None of us. Because it's new territory. We're not used to us doing what we want to do. So it's really hard concept for black people in general. It's like we get offended, like white people. Like, oh, how dare he get paid? I'm about to get in somebody's comments on an article. And then you see what happens. And it's like, oh, okay. Wow. So it's very refreshing for me to see this finals, this playoff has been entertaining. A lot of different storylines. I see how quickly we ignite somebody, like I told Surreal. We ready to put Damian Lillard as the second best point guard. And then I'm like, slow down.
Yep.
Slow down.
Yep.
Like, that was very personal series against Westbrook. And then after that, you look like the Damian Lillard that I knew. No disrespect. Great guy. But I was like, this is slow down, man. So there's so many different places to go. But all that to say, I think it's going to be a great finals. The rest of the playoffs have definitely been very enjoyable. There's so many memorable moments from this year's playoff already. And then also, I've never seen a playoff so tied to free agency for so many teams.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You think about Milwaukee, Toronto, the Sixers, Golden State, and now Houston. Like, all of these teams may look totally different next year. And that's crazy. So, anyway, that's it.
So, I was thinking about this with Kawhi. It comes up, and this was going to come up. You know it was going to come up in terms of Kawhi versus the Spurs. And Kawhi and, I mean, frankly, it's not close. Kawhi and Uncle Dennis won. Kawhi's going to get his money. He might get a chance. He might get a chance. Uncle Dennis is winning, man. Uncle Dennis I told you.
Real, he's winning. I'm coming right in there with you. Like, that's the big headline in my head. It's just like, they were right.
Yep.
Uncle Dennis is right. Kawhi was, they were right. Because, Chad, to your point of, like, the efficiency and, like, the jump, like, that stuff, like the things like that, it's like, yeah, we knew we had it, but everything kept getting attributed to the Spurs system and the Popovich genius and to everybody that worked with them, right? Like, that was the comment. He's so humble, he accepts coaching, and look how they developed him. Look at how they developed that jump shot. Look at how it all got attributed back there. And Kawhi's been that dude. We just didn't know he was that dude because it was all under the Spurs banner. And to their credit, that's what his people around him saw and noticed and pushed him on. And we was all over. I was all over him at the time.
I was
thinking about that. But they were right.
Real quick,
they were 100% right. I could not look at anything that happened this year and go, they were 100% right with everything.
No, I'm sorry. I just wanted to apologize, too, because I told Surreal during the free agency, I would bet on Kawhi. And I said, we don't know how he looks outside of the system and where he is mentally. I said that. I know it. Like, I know I wouldn't have taken a chance on him. So, yeah, you're right, man. Good old Uncle Dennis is smiling now.
Yep.
And the funny thing about Uncle Dennis, to your point, Rob, you can say that that was real care, because he ain't been LeVar Ball in the family. He not up in the press. He not DD'ing the videos. We all were sold that narrative. He's like, no, I'm speaking up in this moment because Kawhi's not assertive. But once everything went down, we ain't even heard about no Uncle Dennis this year. He's chilling. Where's he at? You know, because he's like, it was never about me being seen. It was about making the right move and the right fit. So, yeah, kudos to that, man. Ain't nobody. Us saying apologizing means nothing to the viewing audience.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I want to see those real analysts out there owning that. I would love to see that. Like, just have a discussion about it.
I mean, because again, I love the Spurs. You have to love everything about the Spurs organization, Popovich, R.C. Griffin, Peter Holton, the whole nine yards. But the bottom line is, I felt like if I'm Kawhi Leonard, and they were talking about, I read an article a couple of days ago about what went wrong with that situation was a lack of trust. He's telling them basically I'm hurt. They basically didn't believe that he wasn't. That they basically believed that he wasn't hurt. They were trying to use the injury to force his way out of San Antonio. And I'm saying to myself, and this, again, this doesn't get talked about as well, because Kawhi got traded, right? That eliminated him from getting the super max.
So
he could get, when he finds signs of free agency, he signs with Toronto. He's going to get 191 instead of like 225. If he signs somewhere else, he can sign for 4 years, $141 million. Nobody talks about that.
Yeah. So, I mean, okay. So, well, you think it's going to be a good finals? Go ahead.
Yes. I think the final. I have a lot of respect for Toronto. I think Toronto is battle tested. They took the hardest road that you could possibly take. I thought Orlando was a tough first round series. Orlando was playing great. At the end of the regular season, had some matchups that gave them some issues, even though they went through them in five. The Sixers, I'm not the funny thing about Toronto being in the finals, I didn't walk away from either one of their wins against Philly or Milwaukee thinking that they were the better team. That's a crazy thing. I think Philly probably is a little bit better. I think Milwaukee probably still, I still think Milwaukee probably is a little better. So that they, you know, they're a great defensive team. Obviously, you got the transcendent superstar performance that you needed to get out Kawhi. Kyle Lowry, all of a sudden, that dude finally woke up in the playoffs, and Fred VanVleet, shout out to Fred Jr. Let me give you some numbers of Fred VanVleet. After Fred Jr. was born, this dude averages 16 points a game, 68% in the field, 82% from 3-point range. 14 out of the last 17 3-points he's made.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, can we go back to that Kyle Lowry comment?
Yeah, I want to go there.
Yes,
I want to go there too.
He had a great
season. Happy for VanVleet. Happy for him. But has Kyle Lowry? I've heard that a few times in different places, and I've been watching these playoffs, and I've been watching Toronto, and at no point in time have I gone, man, Kyle Lowry is really doing any number of things. At no point in time was that ever my takeaway from any of those games. And as a matter of fact,
no,
I thought the games he disappeared in got soft-pedaled a little bit this time because that guy is there.
The Milwaukee series, he played well. Sixers-Orlando series, he was his normal Kyle Lowry no-show for the playoffs. A game, maybe one good game of series. The Milwaukee series, Kyle Lowry played well. He played well in that series.
This is why I think they're both right. Right. Because I do think that, just to be clear to everyone listening, Kyle Lowry is James Harden East when it comes to the playoffs. You know, and that's known.
With a lot less talent.
with a lot less talent. But the funny thing is, their narratives are created for different reasons, right? Like, James Harden, once again, didn't do anything for me when it counted in the Golden State series. However, he had a quiet 37 one game. And I said, those numbers are deceiving. It was not an impactful 37. You know what I mean? Like, he did not show up in the big moments. So that's why I say numbers can be skewed. Now, on the flip side, Kyle Lowry, a lot of times, his presence were bigger than his numbers. He only had that first game against Milwaukee. They lost, and he dropped 30. He was hitting threes. He was doing everything. But after that, to Ryle's point, he's looked very average. But this is what happened with Kyle. The expectation level is so low at this point. He's not playing like an all-star. An all-star point guard on, you know, the best team now in the East isn't giving you 16, 18 points, and you're like, he was balling. That's not all-star numbers. But that's what Kyle will give you. You know, so he's been relegated to a very good role player. So if Kyle can get you 14 to 18, you feel like it's a win. If he even shoots the ball, it is a win. You know what I mean? Because, like, he's choked so many times, like, he didn't even want to shoot. Now he's at least being assertive and somewhat aggressive. So, therefore, we have changed how we look at him. And, like, oh, okay, he really out there balling. And I just saw, as I'm talking to you, across the bottom of the screen, him still complaining about his thumb. Please shut up. Like, he said, hurt his other hand then. Because this is the only way you're even halfway playing. I don't want to hear anything else about no Kyle Lowry injury. But Surreal, I would say I think it's going to be a quick series for the reason that you named that you thought it was going to be a good series. You said from the Sixers series to the Milwaukee, you didn't walk away thinking that the Raptors were necessarily the best team. I just think they had the best player in both of those series, and Milwaukee was just a little too young. That's the way I look at the Milwaukee situation. One was bigger than them. But this one right here, even as they were talking about it last night, Siakam, Gasol, Van Fleet, right, on their best day, together, they're going to be about 40, 50 points, maybe, collectively. Kawhi gets you 30. And then he had a great night, he'll get you 40. I'll give him 40. That's still 90 points. Like, stop playing. I know they wanted to believe this is going to be a good finals. I don't care if Durant played. Whatever. We want Durant to play. I mean, me personally, I just like drama, being a Knicks fan. I want Golden State to win the first two in Toronto. I want them to win the first game without Durant by like 30. Then Durant decides to play in game two and they lose. That's what I want. And then they bring all that drama to Golden State. And then whatever happens, happens. That's what I'm hoping for. That's the only way it would be a series. If there's an emotional clash that happens with Kevin Durant and the Warriors. Because they're only playing themselves. So other than that, it doesn't matter. They put up the same wall they put up with Damian Lillard with Kawhi and just make everybody else beat him. And Siakam, I love his game. He is going to get chewed up by Draymond Green. It's really going to be abusive. Because I mean, Draymond is playing out of this world, and I'll never forget, was it last year or the year before, with New Orleans looking good, and what he did to Anthony Davis, I was like, wow, what the, like, woo, that was Anthony Davis, you know what I mean? This might have been a couple years ago, but either way, Siakam, this is going to be, he's nice and groomed, he going through it. So you can go ahead and, if you want to, sell tickets, say that this is going to be a good series. But I don't see how anybody outside of Drake can really believe that this is going to be anything. Like, I don't even think Drake would bet on this. Like, it's going to be fun. Exciting, but no.
Yeah.
No, this is going to be over very quickly. So
I have Golden State in six, and I had the series. It's not a 3-1-6 where 3-1 and then Toronto wins home game five and goes back and leads game six and goes eight. I actually think that they will split the first four games. They will split the first four games.
That'd be very fun.
Golden State wins games five in Toronto and then wraps it up at home. They get 6.
So I'm assuming you're saying when they split, they lose game one. You don't believe that. You don't.
That who? What? That what?
I'm saying if Golden State wins game one, do you still believe it's going 6 like you say?
Nah, they got the Toronto game one. Toronto is a bust. If this wants to be competitive, Toronto has to win game one. Yeah.
Okay. Agree. All right. We agree on that.
Game one is a must win for a competitive standpoint. Yes. Absolutely. Without question. That has to be home court. That has to be their game. They go out there in game one and get punched in the mouth. It might really get ugly. Like it might like.
If I was a betting man, the only bet I would take is who gets MVP, right? Like, is it gonna be Curry or Durant? Like, there's nothing about the games that I want to bet on. Like, who gets the MVP? Can Curry finally get his?
Curry will get his first MVP. Yeah, Curry is gonna get his first Finals MVP. Yeah.
Okay.
Curry is going to. I have that pretty safe bet that Curry will get MVP. I think Durant will come back to game 3. That's my prediction. When he comes back game 3, they're at Golden State.
And Cousins comes back too?
Yeah.
Boogie's going to drag himself to these finals. He's going to play in one of these games.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm so worried about him because this is all about a check. I have to get my money. So I'm not mad at Boogie. I'm not mad at him at all. I just hope he doesn't re-injure himself. What a smart thing would be, go out there and drop 30 and be like, oops, you know what, y'all, I think I rushed back. And just chill out. You know what I mean? Give us one good game or whatever, one good half, and just relax. You know, because I know what he's playing for. But with that said, if we're looking at what they did in the playoffs, Looney looks better than Gasol. Like, so I don't. This is not even fair. Golden State has the top 9 players. They got 8 of them.
I mean, like it's one on however many are cooking for Golden State that night, right? Like it's Kawhi, and then it's versus everybody else. I can't find a matchup that favors Toronto. I look and I think about like the style, and I just want to. Going to record, you know, don't wish injury or anything on anybody. but in knowing, hearing Durant's kind of assessment of himself in a lot of different areas, it would not surprise me if he doesn't play another game in this series.
Interesting.
And it not be because he's the most injured person in the world. It just wouldn't surprise me. And then to piggyback on what both of you said, but in particular, I think, but anyway, that I actually like watching this Golden State team play. And so it wouldn't bother me at all if Durant doesn't come back because I actually like watching the game, and I think it makes him harder to defend, right? Kawhi can lock in on Durant for the game and try to frustrate him, and then they're giving him the ball. I think that's actually the thing that could make the series a little bit shaky. Other than that, the only thing that doesn't make it a sweep is that I think Kawhi's that good and he gets them a game somewhere in there. But they might be up 3-0 before, you know, Toronto gets a mercy game. There's just no matchup that favors Toronto. I always think about, for me, when I think about, like, how the narrative starts being built around series like this, and if anybody asks at the beginning of the season, is like, who's going to win the finals, and, oh, Toronto's there, oh, they crushed them. Like, it's not even a thought. If we go back to the beginning of the season, now we built up this counter narrative. And I always think about the Seattle and the Bulls and how, like, young me actually believed with people. I was like, oh, wow, some people are picking Seattle. So they must be, like, a chance. There was no chance. There was never a chance. I'm not going to be fooled by that narrative. It's been a good story, Toronto, everything like that. It ends right here, right now. It is right here. Right
I will
now.
Say this, and you know we
Steph is gonna cook Kyle Lowry. I pity
Steph,
Kyle Lowry in this
Steph
series.
Big
I pity him.
He's gonna have a big
it's not gonna be a great look
Steph
for him at all.
I pity anybody who's going to try to guard Steph Curry this year. I think he's on one of those like F Kevin Durant. I'm getting the Finals MVP. Steph is on one right now. He's on one.
He's not fair. And then they also talked about the problem going back to Van Fleet. You can't even play him and Lowry together in this series because they're too small. As far as the backcourt, so Thompson might just go crazy. You know, Danny Green has to find his shot again if he wants to play in this series.
I'm glad you bring Danny Green up.
Me too.
Green,
I want to jump in on this as well.
Because Danny Green has finals experience. Is a guy who broke the 3-point record in the finals back in 2013 with the Spurs. So he has finals experience. You want, ideally, if I'm Nick Nurse, I want Kawhi. Forget about guarding Steph. That's suicide. That's crazy.
That's not.
I want Kawhi on Andre Iguodala. I don't even want Kawhi on Clay, for that matter. I want Kawhi to just focus. You have to focus all on offense. Don't even worry about defense. Worry about defense from the standpoint of rotating, things like that. I don't want Kawhi anywhere near Klay Thompson or Steph Curry, especially if Durant's not playing. It's not so much hiding Kawhi on defense, but I'm looking at it from the standpoint of he's going to have to play anywhere from 39 to 43, 44 minutes, and going to have to give you anywhere from 35 to 40. He's going to have to have that kind of series for them to even have a chance.
But to your point, it goes back to what we were saying. It's all about game one because they can, in theory, catch Golden State off guard because Golden State had too much rest maybe. Maybe they're a little rusty. Because if you're going with that logic of saying, I want Kawhi to just focus on offense, I'm not saying it's bad, but just think about what you're saying. Basically, it's free range for Steph and Clay. Y'all do y'all, and I'm going to put y'all two versus Kawhi. I'm not a mathematician, but that's always going to be a loss. I'm always going to bet that the two of them combined will outscore Kawhi. Them on their best day versus Kawhi on his best day. You know what I mean? And like you said, it's just a no-win situation. So, Danny Green, either you find your shot or you go back to Danny Green 2013 defense. Like, you got to bring something back, you know.
And that 2013 defense has been coming back. My whole argument in my head with everybody who brought up his name and like he's struggling, he needs to find his shot. That is your only purpose in this league now. You're longer length. I was kind of joking about the defense, but definitely not the 2013 defense. You can get in the way, and that's fine. But your job is to hit wide open threes. That's your job.
Out of the threes.
That's it.
That's it.
Jared Dudley's rolling over in his grave.
You cannot be struggling. You can't struggle.
Yeah. I'm pulling up his numbers. I think he's shooting like – you pull up his
– it's abysmal.
He's shooting like 19%. I think it's something just insane.
Oh, wow. That's even worse than I thought. I was like 22 or 23. I think
and
that
playing,
was the last
I'm
one
like,
I heard. 19?
I'm pulling up his stats now. Hold on. He's shooting in the playoffs. Come on.
What is it? Coach's decision? He's going to catch one of those.
It's not,
me.
It is bad. All right, 3-point. All right, from the field. No. Wow. So from the field, he's at 32% from the field. From the 3-point line, he's at 31%. So it's not
okay.
As
so
bad
I'm,
as
I'm gonna do. I'm gonna do. I'm gonna do Nick Nurse's favor. In the Milwaukee season series, the weapons on the bench. So Powell didn't start. You need to start Powell right away. Forget Danny Green.
Mm-hmm.
Danny Green come off the bench and to get in the rotation. And if he's hitting the shot, he gets 17.
If you exactly, if
Powell's
catch
been
fire,
a most consistent
fine.
Player.
Otherwise, you're not playing more than these 3-4 minutes I got for you.
No, and you got to go with the hot hand. Outside of Kawhi, Powell has been a most consistent player throughout the whole playoff.
I agree.
Yeah, Powell.
I'm going with him at the two. I'm starting him. Like, we need all our firepower right now because we can't afford to go in early. So we got to try to make this game as competitive for as long as possible with Golden State. Maybe they'll get abused. Maybe they'll get bored. I don't know. But we just want to try to maybe they play around with us and then before they know it. Like, oh, shoot, there's 1 minute left. It's tied. Oh, shoot. Maybe they'll get into a situation like that.
You just got
to
hope.
You know. So
hope. Play your
you
best and hope.
I mean, but this is what happens. Like, Rob, to your point, when you was a little kid and you're hearing about all these analysts say this and that, sometimes all we have to do is just listen to what we're saying. For us to even be having a conversation about Powell and Danny Green and what they have to do, oh, man. Like, come on.
You're in trouble.
Like,
you're in trouble.
What are we talking
you're
about right now? Talking about. They listening like, what are you doing with us? What? You're really putting that type of pressure? Come on, that's not even fair. That's like me saying Mark Fulmer has to give them 20 and 10. He has to if they want a chance. Like, stop playing. Like, go out there, have fun, man. Like, I'm that coach that just wants everybody to play. No one gets hurt. We're going to pray before the game.
Yep.
Everybody gets some sleep. We're going to go out there, hey, man, give it a good old 1-2, and we'll see what happens. There's no talk board. There's no messages. It's just, hey, man, did you sleep well? And I hope you ate. And let's go out there and do our thing. We got to the finals. We're here. They can't take that from us. First time.
We made it. Yep. We made it. We're here.
I mean, it's been a good month. It was a good May for the North. It was a good May for the North. Yeah.
Oh,
Toronto,
happy.
And
I was just really happy for it, man.
North
it was
right now.
Yeah, it was bittersweet, man. Cause like that, you know, when these moments happen, like when Mark Jackson started Golden State, the first person I thought of as I was thinking, you know, for Toronto, I was like, dang. Did anybody call the Rosen? Like,
oh yeah,
you know. Yeah. How quickly things change, you know. But I will say 1% of me says, okay, if I just want to be silly and create story narratives, we think about LeBron when he beat the best team ever. Kawhi is on a very historical run himself. I'm just intrigued, not about, like, they're not going to win, but I just want to see how he's going to play. I'm really intrigued to see how he performs against this Golden State Warriors. Like, is he still going to get 35 points a game? Like, I just want to see. Like, I don't believe this run he's been on because it's been like this methodical. So, anyway.
No, I think Kawhi has a hell of a series because I don't think they have a fantastic matchup for Kawhi on the
right.
Other side. It's just going to be
not enough.
A war. Yeah, they have too much. Too much.
Yeah. Well, you know, we'll see. The next question is just like, does he stay? You know, whatever.
I was just going to go there.
Yeah.
Now, so there have been, again, nothing, everything is, of course, in speculation mode. My thing, I think I just can't see those. I can't, but people don't realize how much these players care about lifestyle and how, like, he's from LA, it's warm out there. I don't see this dude living in Toronto for next week. I just don't see it. I don't think the result will have any impact on his free agency. I think Kawhi is going to be a Clipper. I'd be surprised, shocked if Kawhi is not on the Clipper. That's just my personal opinion. I don't think. Again, it sounds cute. You know, you hit the shot from the corner, it bounced 4 times. He's endeared. The city loves him. Sure, it all sounds great. He had a great playoff run, but I don't see Kawhi Leonard living.
Man, Kawhi with the Clippers would be really scary. I just like the way that team could be built around him with the pieces they already have. That'd be interesting.
Yeah, there's just too many. It's just like you said, it's too many possibilities. The Clippers have stabilized their organization. They can go out. They can make a deal to get Kawhi and trade for Anthony Davis, or even get another free agent if they want. They have They have so many pieces. Yeah. They can make. They have. There's a plethora of things that they can do. Just even
yeah.
besides size, Wilder, whoever.
I mean, the last thing I say to you, going back to the Lakers. I just want to make sure you really understand the journey you're gonna be on. Because you already, it's kind of like, you remember they did that installment of the Incredible Hulk, and they're talking about how it was already in his DNA to be crazy anyway, basically, you know. And you already have the crazy gene. You already have that Nick crazy gene. I don't know how to define it. Because you had this narcissism that me and Rob have seen for years where everything's about Kobe or the L.A. anyway. Now it's about to be magnified, right? So every conversation about basketball, like as I was driving home today, I was trying to figure a way to bring out Melo in this conversation. And I could have, I decided not to. But this is what happens. This is what's going to happen to you. I'm watching this finals as a fan, but everything I'm thinking about is how does this impact the Knicks? That's all I'm thinking about, really. I'm talking like as a normal person and whatever. But it's always like, well, how does this play out? If Durant doesn't play at all, will he be mad and be like, oh, well, they don't need me, I don't need them. It's all about my team. And I just want you to understand that. Just really own where you are in life. You know, because you do this for a living. This is your thing. So at least I can walk away from it. Like, this is your career. This is your art. But you're going to really need some counseling because you're still thinking about the Clippers. Like, even you talking about, hey, the Clippers are stabilized. Like, you're saying stuff that, like, sports person got to say. That shit got to hurt, though. It hurts. Just deal with it, man. Like, I mean, what is it? 2 days ago, they were like, LeBron called Kawhi and Jimmy Butler. Like, what?
Come on. Let me give you this. I'll give you this. I'll give you this, right? So 2014, right? We're talking this time 5 years ago. We were talking about Donald Sterling. That was like the biggest story in the NBA. It happened during the playoffs. The race, the tape came out. All this stuff came out. Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, Doc Rivers, DeAndre Jordan, all on the team. So in 5 years, the Clippers have gotten rid of all three of those guys. They have a new owner.
Yep.
They have Lawrence Frank at the front office.
Mm-hmm.
They stripped Doc Rivers of his president duties. They just said, you know what, Doc, just focus on coaching. You know you're a shitty GM, focus on coaching. In 5 years, they've done this. Made the playoffs without an all-star. Right? And they are by far the most appealing free agent destination in the city of Los Angeles. It's not even close. And we have LeBron. Think about that. They rebuilt the franchise in 5 years.
No. I've thought about that. Everything. Hearing you literally break down why the Clippers are a better franchise than the Los Angeles Lakers. Wow, that's a wow. Nobody do anything to this video. This is one for the books.
Yeah, man. I feel for
that
you, man.
That was powerful, real. That was powerful. Ow. That hurt. I didn't think anything would make me feel bad for the Lakers or Laker fandom. Hearing you do that, I feel a little bit of your pain. That hurt. That hurt me to hear you say that.
Yeah.
Sad day. And look, Kobe Bryant recruiting Kyrie Irving to the Lakers.
Yeah, you know. Sure.
Yeah, this is all the headlines gonna be, man. Everything about your team is a headline from now on. That's all it is.
Yeah,
that's all it is, man. It is headlines and failed experiments. You know, that's what it's gonna be. That's what it's gonna be, man. Like,
can we acknowledge? Like, here's the thing about sports talk, humanity, the whole thing. We just we have to acknowledge when we are just full of shit. Like, we just have to acknowledge that. Let's go all the way back to the beginning of this season, when all of those, even before the beginning of this season, when the moves were being made to construct the Lakers. And I either had to have legitimate conversations with people or listen to legitimate conversations of how those moves made sense in the context of having LeBron, to the point where I started to doubt myself. Like, am I crazy? I really don't feel like this is a good mix, like, at all. Like, this actually sounds like the worst decisions ever. But nobody else is saying that. Am I crazy on this one?
The only thing, to your point, though, to your question, the only thing that we have not heard yet is this someone that was genuinely trying to sabotage the Lakers? Seriously. When you put all those things together, it's like, hold on. April Fool's. Really? Like, you got the worst of the worst. If there was an NBA filter for, like, crackheads, like, here you go. Rondo, JaVale McGee, Lance Stevenson, Beasley. Yep. You got people that no one even thinking about.
2K would have just said, no, this has nothing to do with salary.
I'm surprised they didn't pick up Chris Parker and Ron Artest again. And also to add to that, listen, but only to add to that, Rob, none of them would shoot. It's like, okay, you can't even lie and say these, at least they're shooters. You just got a bunch of LeBron doesn't even like that. He doesn't even like. Who did this?
Oh, man. So you get all these pieces. Brooke Lopez basically becomes Stoyakovich.
Yep. Also, Golden State gives Cousins for the minimum. Y'all didn't even throw no money at him. Didn't even look at Cousins.
That's pretty hard. But did you hear Magic? Did you hear Magic excuse about D'Angelo Russell? So we had to get rid of him. That whole Nick Young thing. So you allow Nick Young to dictate moves on your franchise? A journeyman player who's been on like 25 teams. He's
you're letting
his
something that came out on social media.
Yeah, for real.
Magic. For real. This is we talk Magic. Please just step. Please stop talking Magic. Me and you got the same birthday.
Just stop.
I'm a Magic man. I am so petty. I'm about to make Steph Curry the best point guard ever. Like, stop. Right now, it's getting close, brother, but we just like, oh, no one's done what Magic did. We still there, sir.
Oh, Magic.
But if you keep talking and Steph keep winning, we're going to be in a very difficult place. I don't want us to go there. Please don't let them be a legacy. That's why Phil Jackson said nothing. Phil Jackson was so damaged from that Knicks thing, he had to just stop. He took a sabbatical from talking for a couple of years. Because everybody already found out, hey, joke's on us, the triangle never meant anything. How about that? You know what I mean? Like, we finally started talking about the triangle after the Melo thing. Like, you know what? The triangle's really not that big a deal. Magic, just please chill out, man. Don't say nothing else. It's a really bad time. And also, depending on the next article, because they did have to mention in the article that one of the people was a female. That wasn't even necessary in that article, but he yelled at her and said, I don't make mistakes, like a villain, I guess. Like, who's up this fictional? This ML sign. Anyway, it's not like a Goosebumps novel. But anyway, all that to say, Magic, shut up. Real, I'm here for you. Listen, man, we're going to laugh, man. I just say we trade dumb moves. Like, I send you a dumb Nick article, you send me a dumb Laker article. You know, we just keep it moving. I'm actually, this is how crazy my psyche is. I wanted and didn't want the number one pick all at the same time. I promise you. It's like,
please explain that.
Because as I said, I wanted it because of his talent. But then I'm like, if anybody would mess up the talent. And also, I already heard all these rumors that we were going to trade everything for Anthony Davis if we got him anyway. So it's just like some teams are so damaged, they can't get out their own way. We would have been the only team I know that would have found a way. We would have found a way to mess it up. We really would have. It's like God was like, no more. No more on this young man's heart. You know what? You will get the third pick. It's like so safe because it's only three good players. We're like in the safest place you can be. It's literally three players. We can't mess this up. We can't. We can't. And it's three players, and we get a third pick.
Yeah.
How perfect is that? We don't even have a decision. That's where you have to get real. You have to get to a place where you don't have a say. Right now, y'all have too much power, too many options.
And of course, Lakers got the fourth pick.
Right.
We have
the fourth pick. So, listen, this coming from me, an organization that says we got a youth movement. Cantor's 27. He's too old to play basketball, so we're just going to move him for no reason. Like, it's so many dumb things that happen, you know, because it also comes to if you don't cut off the head, it's infection. I told you, Fizdale, he's a clown. But then I thought about it. I was like, well, maybe he wouldn't have been a clown if he didn't come to a circus. So it doesn't matter who comes in there, man. It really doesn't matter. So I really pray for your organization. I joke with you. I don't want you to live a life like me. I don't, man. It's not fun. It's not fun. You know what I mean? I don't want you to just be a fan of the game. I want you to really have a team. That gold and purple, I want that to mean something to you, man. I haven't bought anything Knicks-related. Even I get mad when Arnold asks me, why would I watch the Knicks game? Is what I tell him. Why would I watch the Knicks? No fun, man. No fun.
Well, I mean, listen. So anyway. Durant, Kemba Walker, you know. You'll be KD in the mix. You'll be fine.
Yeah, listen, like I said, headlines and experiments. I told you, once again, and y'all think I'm joking, when I said I didn't want the draft pick, I really don't want KD. Do you realize that KD responds to everybody?
Yep.
You're going to bring somebody that mentally soft to New York? What? That makes no sense.
No. Mm-mm.
That makes no sense. His mentality, he's so fragile mentally. This is the worst place for him to go. He needs to go to Milwaukee. You know what I'm saying? Somehow. Can he pick him up and trade him in September and get a degree? I don't know. I just don't want it. I don't want anything. I don't want that type of fortune. I want a very decent team that just likes each other and plays hard. That's all I want. You know, I don't want much. I don't want much, man. I just want enough to win a couple games, man.
You want this year's Clippers?
I do want this year's Clippers without Uncle Tom, Doc Rivers. I do want this year's Clippers. Just fight hard, no ego. We play hard every day. That's all I ask. I don't want Jimmy Butler. He's another cancer. Yeah.
One last one. I'll let y'all go. So the Rockets have been firing assistant coaches left and right. Should they fire Mike D'Antoni? If you're Daryl Morey, would you fire Mike D'Antoni?
No. Here's what I'd say. You have to like burn the whole thing down, right? So it's like you wait it out, because how long does Chris Paul have there?
That contract, he has three more years. But that's a horrible contract.
Oh yeah, these are horrible
three more
contracts.
$120 million, $30 million. Yes.
Yeah.
Is it one of those?
I mean, honestly, I think the moves in the off season killed them more than the coaching this season, to be honest with you. But they're not going to beat the Warriors. So, I mean, sure, fire him. I don't think it does anything to positively impact that team.
Yeah. I basketball wise and personally hate Mike D'Antoni, right? So I have nothing positive to say about him. But I will say this. Every time you're talking about firing somebody, I'm like, well, who are you replacing him with? You know, I'd rather they just ride it to the wheels fall off him and crackhead James Harden just do what they do. Win a bunch of regular season games and do some cool stuff next year and then win me one more year. I do like what they're saying. Like, dude, we want to basically reevaluate your contract, you know, incentivize it off performance. So I'm all cool with that. But it's like, don't get rid of him. Like, you guys are trying to be like mad scientists and all of this. You're not going to win a championship. You're just not. So if you fit D'Antoni, I say, well, then you get rid of Harden too. Like, for real, like, you really going to clean sweep whatever you're doing. But you got to ride that one. You just say, oh, we'll be back. Hakeem didn't win till he was 31. Like, you said all this nonsense right after Golden State beat you. Then you keep D'Antoni and Harden, and you two can sit together and figure out who y'all want to play with. That's what I really do. I'll say, Harden, what you want to do? You still want Chris Paul? I know you really don't care about him. If you want to move him, what pieces you want around you to help you win or make you look good, at least get another MVP. That's all I would do. You're not going to be Golden State. The best thing you can hope for is that Golden State loses Durant and they come back to down to earth and maybe somebody gets injured and then it's open season. That's about it. I see the Lakers are stupid. So kind of like with the Knicks where everybody throws any deal at the Knicks. Like everybody, anytime they think about trading somebody, like, well, let's call the Knicks. You know, because the Knicks don't listen there. You know, that's what we do. And now the Lakers are in that same boat. Like if I'm Houston, I'm like, okay, we ready to get rid of anybody outside of Harden and D'Antoni. Let's call the Lakers. Let's see if we can get whatever.
Yeah.
What kind of package. That's what I would
literally
do.
As we're talking, I look down at my phone and it says, sources, Rockets making CP3 and others available.
Sure. Yeah.
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 Yeah. See?
Yeah.
That's all
this
everybody.
This is ESPN. This is, yep. Yep.
Anybody can get it, man. Outside of Harden and D'Antoni, y'all ride out together.
He has a so the rest of that contract, 3 years left, has a player option, 38 million dollars, $41 million, and his player
sounds like
his
LA.
Player option, $44 million.
Chad, this is part one of your theory.
Yeah, it's coming.
It's called LA.
Melo's already foreshadowed. He's not done.
Yeah, Melo's coming. Oh, that's happening.
Yeah,
that's
Melo's
for
coming.
Sure. That's not even
the Melo to LA thing is coming. Dwayne Wade is
the big one.
A little far-fetched.
Yeah, that's gonna. That's gonna be the one. That's gonna be the one. But woo, yep. It begins real everywhere. It just
Chris
begins.
Paul, it would have to be in a Rondo trade because Rondo and Chris Paul clearly can't be in the same place. So Rondo will be coming to Houston. But I could definitely see Melo and Chris Paul to start the season in L.A. Definitely.
Yep. Agreed.
And it would be fun. And it would be fun to watch. It really would be. But it would be such a Nick move. It would be such a Nick move because if we always do 5 years later, we get who we wanted 5 years ago.
I was going to say, for the 13 games, they actually managed to all play together at the same time on the court. It'll be pretty fun.
Yeah. It would look like Karl Malone and Gary Payton.
Yep.
Yeah. But I guess you can see that.
So
I'm about to start it. Yep.
We'll talk.
Yep, it's happening.
We'll talk again. Yeah, it's going. No, I'm not. The banana boat thing is, I could definitely. That's not far-fetched at all. We will certainly talk over the course of the finals. We will preview the one probably what turns out to be or what's going to be one of the craziest free agency summers in recent memory. We'll talk about who was going to go where. Who should get paid? Who shouldn't get paid? Things of that nature, and give the folks some pop culture in terms of what television is going to look like post Game of Thrones. So
yes, sir.
Gentlemen, thank you for joining the program. Welcome back to the program. as I have to take this hour and a half pill of Laker future and present. So if I ever have a child, they will not be a Laker fan. I won't even do that to them. Make them, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, you know what? Hey, listen. You
right,
have
yeah,
to
right,
go through your emotions before you explain them. You going to name your kid
yeah.
Kobe when they get a nice free agent over the summer. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. You'll be right back in Laker Nation.
Oh,
it's living with it, brother.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right,
good luck on your journey.
Easy.
Good luck.
All right.
Take
care.
Later. That's going to wrap it up for this latest edition of the Real Deal Podcast. As always, thanks to Rob Sapp, Chad Quinn for joining the programs. The podcast will be up in a few minutes. This is the Real Deal Podcast, telling it like it is with no apologies. Thanks for listening. I'm out.